In the open meadows, the humble goat grazes and stares into the middle distance, contemplating its place in the universe and the meaning of life, most likely. Its calls shift subtly, shaped by its social circle, adapting as needed to fit in or stand apart. Its vacant expression and square pupils belie a hidden linguist. But sometimes, you have to talk the lingo to blend in, like the goat here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a screaming sensation, but more on that later.
Interesting.
In general.
That you would say that. Because... there was some internet sleuthing that discovered that that was never a goat that made that sound. Just go watch the odd. Go on YouTube and watch the Odd Ones Out screaming goat internet sleuth thing, and it ended up not being a goat at all. I think it was a...
That particular famous one, you mean? Because they do scream, but just, I guess, not that scream.
It wasn't the one that's been used in every movie since. The hysterical scream.
Yeah, I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah. It's playing in your head. You've watched Thor Love and Thunder. Or... I actually can't even think of other movies that use the goat scream right now, but I know it's a lot. Maybe because I avoid them. I didn't even watch Thor Love and Thunder, so I just happen to know that the scream is in there. But interesting tidbit. But yes, we are talking... Well, what are we talking about? Do we even mention that?
Talking about the goat.
Yeah, talking about a goat. And since
the greatest
I was...
of all time.
Yeah, since I'm older than 20 years old, I'm not going to use that as an acronym for the greatest of all time.
That's foolish. Enjoy culture.
No.
This is the goat farm animal.
Because what I don't like is that it's made it really, really easy to just throw superlatives at everything. It's like... Oh man, Cheetos is the goat.
Goat lunch.
The greatest of all time, Cheetos.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the category. Cheese puff snacks? Then that's possible.
It's just it's
top five.
It's the symptom of our language just putting everything on the top shelf and having no room to go upward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to be more reserved with my accolades so that when I do say something is the greatest of all time, like the Lord of the Rings, then it deserves it. It has its own pedestal. It's not one of 50 things that I've called the goat just today.
Well,
anyway,
what else could be the goat farm animal but the goat?
Yeah, it's like just the horses. Normal.
Probably can't. Actually,
what?
I think goat might be the goat farm animal.
I don't know. There's a difference between me, who wants to eat many of these farm animals, and then there's the people that have to take care of them, like certain animals more than others.
Well, in terms of meat and cheese and like the cost to raise, I think you could get a lot out of a goat.
I remember watching a long time ago, watching a homesteading family talk about the most difficult animals to raise, with chickens being like the absolute easiest, and then turkeys actually being pretty difficult, and I forgot what was at the really far end, but obviously cattle are hard.
Yeah.
But I think it was goats like sometimes just die. Like they were fine yesterday, and you open the pen and one of them is dead, and you're just like, what even happened? And they just have aneurysms, I suppose. Like, so it's really hard. It can be hard to keep them alive sometimes. I don't know, but yeah, they are very useful. They provide a lot of things.
How come there's no such thing as sheep cheese? I've never heard of sheep cheese. Maybe it's because it sounds deviant. It sounds not good. There's goat cheese though, which is also not good.
I like goat cheese.
Really?
Yes, I do like goat cheese. I like weird cheeses, but not all of them.
Would you try sheep cheese?
Yeah, sure. I sure would. I mean, I would smell it first. Some of the cheeses you smell first and you're like, this one's not for me. But for some reason, I like blue cheese. I will never... Blue cheese and Kingdom Hearts are two things I can never explain to you why I like... But I just do, and we're just gonna have to live in this world together.
Sheep cheese is rich, flavorful dairy product made from sheep's milk. Hey, there is sheep cheese.
That's a hard. I can't. You're making me hungry. Kind of cut cheese more or less out of my diet since it's January 6th, and I'm 6 days into the
January 1st.
What?
You cut it out starting today.
No, no. Since it's January 6th.
Oh, since it's January 6th. Okay.
Right. Yes. And I've been on the low cheese. Cheese is just the calorie to nutrient ratio is just so bad, but it's so delicious. Anyway, I'm talking about the goat, which is also called the domestic goat, the nanny goat, or the billy goat. But we're going to call it here in order of nicknames that I am the most proud of, starting with the least. Billy the Kid, which is just an obvious one. Bleep Boxer, which I feel kind of icky about. But this one's good. Noam Chomsky. Yep. And La Vida Broca. That one's a deep cut, but I am very proud of it. So yeah, Noam Chomsky, noted father of linguistics, someone who I had to learn a lot about when I was in school because I majored in linguistics, and because I majored in linguistics, I can make this last one as a joke. La Vida Broca.
Nice. Which,
If you're a linguist out there, you're probably picking yourself up off the floor from laughter at the moment. I'll give you a moment. For everyone else, the area of the brain that governs speech is Broca's area. It's what it's called. So we're going to talk about speech.
Well, that's great.
I am proud of it, but it's not the funniest one. Maybe Noam Chomsky was the best. Who knows?
Okay.
Do you have any science?
I do. It's in the kingdom you know, love, and are in. The kingdom is Animalia, the phylum Chordata, class Mammalia, order Artiodactyla, the family is Bovidae. That's cows and stuff.
Cow, grazers.
Yeah. Just a couple of grazers. That's a reference for the ages. The subfamily is Caprinae. That's goats. Small bovids. Medium-sized bovids. That's Caprinae. And the genus is Capra, which is goats. Domestic and wild, like the ibex. And the species is Capra hircus. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah.
Caprahircus.
Where'd I leave my phone? Here, cuz.
That's domestic goats.
Correct. And since we are in the business of naming things, and business is okay. 2025 was a rough year. It's time for my favorite part of the show and the listeners' favorite part of the show. Groups. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is the same every time. What is the name of a group of this animal, or what is the term of venery, or what is the collective noun? If you saw a group of goats, which if you are in the States and you see a goat, you're probably seeing a couple of them. It's probably a group of them. So what would you call them?
Mm-hmm.
Would you call them A, a trip of goats? B, a hop of goats? C, a butt of goats? Or D, a graze of goats?
Let's go with a butt of goats. I like a graze of goats better. Let's go with a butt of goats. Final answer.
You think that the same person who named this term of venery is the person that named the seventh planet in our solar system? The exact same sense of humor, the Shrek sense of humor. No, that is incorrect. The answer is a trip. It's a trip of goats.
That's the worst one. A graze of goats is good.
I'm happy to hear that because I made up the other ones. I'm glad you like the other ones more.
A good graze of goats. I like that. Keep it that. A trip.
We're gonna move this graze is gonna graze over here. The graze grazes.
Yeah, the graze grazes. The sun also grazes.
The graze grazes mainly in Spain. Yeah, so it's a trip of goats.
They're
having a great time. They're on a trip.
Okay. Would you like to know what they're called? What they look like?
I do.
I have an idea, but it looks like a goat. It looks like a sheep with no wool. It looks like a little bovid that could. A pot-bellied, long-faced, square-eyed, two-horned, fluffy, tufted tail.
It sounds like
creature.
It sounds like you are Rufio insulting Robin Williams.
Yeah.
In Hook.
It's a
two-horned, square-eyed, snot-nosed,
fixed-spined, human teethish grin. Bovid.
Paramecium brain.
Yeah. And they, you know, as with many domestic creatures, they come in a variety of colors: brown, white, black, gray, speckled, non-speckled, depending on what kind of sticks they're looking at.
Sheep are speckled based on the kind of sticks they're looking at.
Yeah, it's the biblical story of Isaac. No, not Isaac. Jacob. Jacob and his father-in-law.
Oh, yeah. That is a deep cut and also a very odd story.
Yeah, where it's either like, I looked up today, what do scholars say that was going on there? And they're saying it's either that... They're saying, like a lot of people say, that like it's either a metaphor for selective breeding, or it is like God is using this superstitious belief and like allowing, and basically what Jacob thinks is, or what, yeah, Jacob thinks is going to happen happens because God is like moving things along. Or they think he was, it's like some ancient phrase that refers to selective breeding. I don't know. It is a very odd story. It does seem like Jacob did magic.
I showed them the sticks and they were, and this, they, They came out speckled, or then not speckled. It's been a while since I've read that story. And
it's funny, stuff so confusing. That often could be like an ancient metaphor or euphemism that, you know, it's hard to know what that means now. But anyway, you've seen them. You've seen goats. They come in a variety. The sizes and the colors vary, as is often the case with domestic creatures.
The square eyes are the weirdest part about them.
That's what I was going to say. The most strange feature about them is that they're square eyes. And it wasn't until like maybe I was in high school or even an adult when I realized I heard that.
They have square eyes.
Yeah.
You hadn't spent a lot of time around goats in your youth.
No, I did not look them in the eye. They are disgusting creatures.
They can't look in the same direction. It doesn't seem they're looking in opposite directions. So it's kind of like birds, where they just seem so alien.
Yeah.
But it's hard for them to be as cute as other farm animals.
Often, I think now that I'm looking at it, it's because they have those weird human teeth. And they've got a goatee. They've got those flat human teeth, and square eyes. Panoramic peripheral vision.
But it gives the impression of smooth brain, no thoughts.
It does.
At empty, no thoughts.
And it's not far off.
Well, they're a little bit more complicated than you might think, as we're going to learn in a bit.
Okay.
But not now. You got to tell us something else.
Oh, that's right. I got to tell you about their size and dimensions. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal's size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words of Measure Up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is. Without further ado,
I'm looking for Granny Puckett's house.
Granny Puckett.
Could you stop singing for one moment?
No, I can. I wish I could. But a mountain witch done put a spell on me 37 years ago. And now I gotta sing everything I say.
Everything?
That's right.
You just talked! Just now!
Did I? 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 Did I?
I think he's going. I have no idea. No idea. What is this, BoJack Horseman?
No, it is from Hoodwinked. That is Japheth the goat.
Oh, my. Hoodwinked.
I've never seen that. But the did I is like a famous internet sound even to this day.
Is it? Yeah. I've never heard it as an internet sound. That's not surprising, but still... Usually those sound clip memes make it into something I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen Hoodwinked back when it came out and have promptly forgotten everything about it. So probably like within 24 hours of having watched it. So I had no chance.
Hoodwinked with an exclamation point. But that's that. Japheth. We had a couple comments on Spotify. Most of them are suggestions of stuff to do. So Z Lightning Bolt has sent. I'm going to keep it secret what you've suggested. If people go and look at the comments, they can. But if you do, then you earn the right. But we've got four new suggestions. Z Lightning Bolt sent two, and Kev sent two. So thank you to Z Lightning Bolt and Kev.
Is it supposed to be like the Lightning Bolt, but with a French accent?
No, it's literally Z and three lightning bolts.
Z Lightning Bolts.
Yeah, Z and three emoticons of a lightning bolt. Emojis.
So it's like a light. It's the most lightning bolt letter, and then some lightning bolts.
Exactly. But then also, Crazy Creature Caricatures on YouTube says Happy New Year.
Nice.
Happy New Year. Crazy Creature Caricatures is a YouTube channel. I just went. I clicked on it because it looked like they did caricatures of crazy creatures. And yeah, it's like a video, a podcast where a guy draws creatures and you get to watch him draw it and he talks. So thank you so much to Crazy Creature Caricatures.
Yeah, people who can draw things like that just not only like off the top of their head and quickly, but while talking or doing something else. I mean, that is the closest thing to... Well, not the closest thing. That is a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like you have it or you don't. It's not something you could just. Oh, I'm just going to train my whole life to be able to draw like caricatures and hold a regular conversation with somebody at the same time. It's just you were born with it, or maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, I don't think it's Maybelline. Also, Tetra Vermilion gave us two other. Animal suggestions, and I've already put them on the list.
Nice.
We're love getting suggestions.
I was literally plumbing the depths of the ocean for suggestions.
I think Tetra Vermilion and Kev are the same person, which means Kev is just trying to reach us wherever he can. Because unless two different people are suggesting the same two animals. In which case, that would be also we have to do it.
The first thing is we're going to use Occam's razor here.
Yeah.
Go with the first option. It's probably Kev, but Tetra Vermilion is a pretty awesome handle. So give him to that. Give him that.
Cool. Let's talk about. I did it a little different this time. To expedite things and drill more into stuff we could learn rather than just glossing by it. Let's do a true or false version of Measure Up. See how it feels. Try it on. See how cool it is.
Desperately trying to bring Measure Up back into the limelight.
Desperately trying to streamline it for me, you, and the listener. Because it takes up too much of the show. And yeah, we gotta recapture that magic. You know, remember it started with me just saying to you, and that wasn't even a quiz. It was just like, did you know this is the same amount as this? And
pretty quickly turned into a game.
It did. And we'll never reach the high heights of the mongoose into a cloud.
That's the only one I think of. The million mongooses go into a cloud or whatever.
Yeah.
You're cumulative this cloud.
You
that one's easy because it's a million.
So heavy, but
and yeah, you don't expect the cloud to be so heavy. But you've done, yeah, there's been a lot of like, what's the distance between here and the nearest neutron star?
Oh, I love that. Or the weight of a teaspoon of neutron star or something like that.
A teaspoon.
Anyway, the goat, height at the shoulder. Withers is 16 to 42 inches, 41 to 170 centimeters. Let's call it 170 centimeters or 42 inches. In the ancient Mideast, kern stones, Q-U-E-R-N, kern stones were used for manual grain grinding. Disc kerns were small enough to grind grain by hand and have been found all over the Zagros mountain region in present-day Iran. True or false, one disc kern goes into the height of a goat at the withers.
False.
False? Final answer?
Yeah.
The correct answer is false.
I think it's smaller.
It is smaller because it has to be portable. It's about 60 centimeters. 30 to 60 centimeters or so, like three to two would go into the height of a goat.
I need to stretch my, I need to develop my neck muscles to support how big my, my brain is.
Let's talk about the weight of goats. They're 20 to 340 pounds, 9 to 154 kilograms.
So are people.
We're talking about you. True, but we're talking, we can go all the way down to pygmy, all the way up to like the big, that such is the case for domestic animals. You can may have a Chihuahua or you can have a Great Dane. But most adults fall into the range of 100 to 200 pounds. Males are about 20 to 30% larger than females or heavier. So if we go with the 340 pounds, let's go with the upper end. In the book of 1 Samuel, Nabal, the first husband of Abigail, who David later marries, was very wealthy as evidenced by the number of sheep and goats he owned. He had 750,000 pounds of sheep, if sheep are 200 pounds on average. True or false, he also had 340,000 pounds of goat.
I'm going to go with true.
True.
Yeah.
How many goats do you think he had?
I didn't do the math. 3,000 sheep. I just said true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is the bad part of, this is the bad part of true or false. It is a 50-50 shot for you. But, I mean, multiple choice is just a 25% shot. Is it really much different? Anyway, final answer, true?
True.
The correct answer is true. He had 1,000 goats. 340 pounds, 340,000 pounds of goats.
Did you say 340 pounds?
Yes.
I thought we were going with the upper end of average being...
No, I went with the upper end.
Oh, I thought so. Yeah, well, still, I got the answer right because it was a 50-50 shot. But
yeah. He had 1,000 goats. And then he did not want to give David and his men any lunch. And so David was going to kill him.
And his whole household.
And then Abigail said, what if I give you 500 loaves of bread? And he's like, you're so nice to me. I'm going to relent and not kill your household. And then Nabal had a heart attack and he got to marry her. Isn't that, that's the stuff of romantic comedies right there.
That's a Hallmark movie. If I remember right.
Yeah.
I wonder if they included that in that animated David movie that just came out. I'm sure they had to cut quite a bit of his life out.
Yeah. It's gotta be that movie. It's gotta be just like up to David and Goliath. Like,
can you imagine?
It goes all the way to Absalom.
Oh, brother, man. This is an X-rated animated feature for the whole family.
I can't wait to the part two. He goes on a collectathon mission with the Philistines.
Yes. Yes. In order to win, what is it,
Michal or something.
Saul's daughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the collectathon, that one. David was a violent dude. Goliath was the beginning of his bloodlust. Yeah. Anyway,
That wasn't his idea, but he did execute on it.
And he was like, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this. this whole killing Philistines thing. I just killed the biggest one. Yeah. I'm going to go...
The small one's got to be way easier than this.
It's all coasting from here.
Yeah. And plus, I got these mighty men now. We're cooking. We're really cooking. All right. So, what do we think about that? True or false? Streamlined? Dig a little deeper.
I got
a deeper well, but
I got 100%. It was right on both accounts, so I like it.
Is it too easy?
I like it when I'm right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Makes me feel smart. And not that I just guessed or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah.
Email in, viewer.
Email, not viewer, comments. Listener. YouTube comments, Spotify comments, whatever you want to do. Let's talk about, you ready for some fast facts?
I am.
Goats were once one of the first animals to be domesticated by humans around 10,000 years ago in the Fertile Crescent region.
Yummy.
And they're thought to be first domesticated from the Bezoar Ibex. There are over 1 billion domestic goats worldwide, making them one of the most numerous livestock species, not far behind chickens, but probably ahead of cows. More people consume goat milk and meat than cow products in many parts of the world. And the goat milk is often easier for humans to digest due to smaller fat globules. Did you know that?
I've never had goat milk before. I've eaten goat, and I had a lot of goat cheese.
Me too.
But
I have the same goat experience as you.
You've had a lot of goat cheese? I thought you didn't like it.
What do you mean by a lot? Like daily?
Like, I'll go to Aldi and get their tub of goat cheese, tomato, and basil crumble, and I'll put that on basically everything.
Okay, you've had way more goat cheese than me, but I've had goat cheese on more than one occasion.
Oh, man. It's been a while. And never milk. Never milk.
It's not a vowel. It just never has happened.
You felt so strongly about it.
Goats are a couple of browsers. They prefer to eat shrubs, leaves, weeds, rather than they like to keep their heads up while they're eating. So that's why they prefer to eat things higher off the ground rather than grazers like sheep and cows. So browser, we've talked about this before on the show. Browsers eat bushes. Grazers eat grass. Hey, that's great. I didn't even intend to do that.
I thought we already did that when we were talking about a deer.
Probably. Maybe we did. And that's why I said it. It's in there somewhere. They thrive in harsh environments with sparse vegetation, including Rocky Mountains area. Not the Rocky Mountains, but Rocky Mountain areas, although there are sheep there, very close relatives, and arid areas, and they can utilize water, a wider variety of plants than most livestock. They don't eat grass and plains. They can eat shrubs.
Anything they can eat. They're famous for eating anything.
Tin cans.
Shirts and stuff.
Yeah. Goats have a distinctive horizontal rectangular pupil, which provide a wide field of vision up to 320 to 340 degrees. It's a lot. They can spot predators while they keep their head. They're paranoid. Relax. They're eating
their prey.
Bushes.
You can't relax.
And seeing all the way around their head. Yeah, I guess their whole thing is not relaxing, but they seem even less relaxed than a cow. That could be because of size.
Yeah, there's less that threatens a cow, for sure.
Forgot about a cow's tasteful thickness.
Very tasteful. That's delicious thickness.
And the rectangular shape keeps their focus on the horizon. That's where lions come from, the horizon.
In the Rockies. I guess we do have mountain lions. Never mind.
Yeah. It's harder to catch the horizon, though, in the Rockies. There's stuff in the way, like mountains. They're renowned for their agility the world over. Goats can climb steep cliffs, trees, famously. The argan trees in Morocco, they're often full of goats. And even man-made structures. Young kids, goat kids, are especially playful and adept at jumping and balancing. Young human kids love to be playful and jump, but they're not great at balance.
No, I can attest to that. Today, I can attest to that today.
There are hundreds of breeds, varying in size, coat, and purpose. There are breeds for dairy. There are breeds for hair, their wool. There's meat breeds. And then there's all-around Mario-type multi-purpose breeds. Goats.
Screaming breeds.
Yeah. If they're breeding for screaming, they're just doing the world a disservice. Goats are intelligent, curious, social herd animals with strong hierarchies. Males often butt heads to establish dominance. And they can live for 15 to 18 years on average, with some reaching over 20 years in captivity. So when human males butt heads, it's metaphorical because of this.
Unless they're playing football.
That's true. Although I don't think it's technically, you want to stay away from spearing. But 3 points of contact, yeah. You get your head involved. Feral goats can be invasive, causing habitat degradation and threatening native plants, animals, on islands. But managed grazing can help control weeds. So if you let them graze a little bit, eat the weeds. No big deal.
Hmm.
But they're also delicious, so if they're invasive, go get those.
There's a Curious George episode where they don't know what to do with a bunch of poison ivy. The spoiler alert, they have a goat eats it, and that's what gets rid of it at the farmer's farm.
Goats eat poison ivy? That's great.
In this Curious George episode. That's about
Curious George would not lie to me.
But with the man in the yellow hat, you got to watch out for him.
I think he's a trustworthy chap.
He kidnapped a monkey.
I think he
and
came
brought it to and brought it to a New York City apartment.
Yeah, but he's got. Have you seen his hat?
He's a maniac.
He's a pith helmet wearing kind of guy. He seems to be. That was just the culture of the time. Imperialist it's Britain. Just
my kidnapped monkey things. Away from me, away from my Manhattan penthouse. It's part of my culture.
He lived in Manhattan. He was an American man. Oh, that's a little.
Yeah, he's American. They first live in New York. They just call it the big city, but it's tough not to like. It's New York, obviously, and then they go and live out.
Could be London.
In
does
the
he have
country.
An
no,
goats can eat poison ivy. So, do you trust Google's AI or the man in the yellow hat?
Well, the man in the yellow hat doesn't say they can't. He actually says they can.
No, I'm saying which one's more trustworthy? Take your pick.
Both together corroborating, I believe it. Cross my heart and hope to die.
What if its source material is just the man in the yellow hat?
It's just Curious George.
But that's all I got.
AI would do that to me.
Yeah, they would.
Okay. It's time for the major fact, which I'm calling Kids Say the Darndest Things, parentheses, Bleating Hearts of the World Unite. Mm. A 2012 study from Queen Mary University of London revealed that young goats tweak their bleats to echo the quote-unquote accents of their social circle. So these researchers listened in on 12 I don't know how to pronounce this. Saanen. S-A-A-N-E-N. I don't know what to do with two A's in a row. Saanen. That's the kind of goat. So there's 12 goat kids of this variety. And they recorded their calls at 5 days old. And they sounded like a generic goat. But then after 5 weeks, when they spent time with separate members of their individual trips, their bleats had changed. They had morphed into a matching accent. Subtle changes in pitch, in rhythm, in timbre made their goat calls unique and similar to the trip that they were in. And in these goat trips, herds, they can sometimes split and regroup. It helps them identify each other. Like, okay, you're part of my tribe because you talk like me. Even though everything got all mixed up because the farmer milked us all or something. I don't know. We can get back together with our cliques. Because we talk the same way. So it's kind of like a bleeding business card. There you go. There you go for your dad joke of the day. And it creates a closer knit group. And this means that other adults are trusted with other kids more, because there's within goat groups trips, there's a lot of babysitting that happens. Kids will be at times raised by other adults. This happens more strongly in trips that share the same dialect, and they also respond to threats more quickly. And this means that goats join humans, bats, and whales as some of the only animals in the kingdom that are capable of developing recognizable accents. These dialects can differ from farm to farm, so a goat in, you know, Morocco would have a different dialect than a goat in Scotland, would have a different dialect from one here in the States. So yeah, they're linguists. They're hidden linguists. Next time you look into the vacant stare of a goat, just remember that they're linguistic professionals.
I will remember that. Looking into those squares, the square stare.
It seems like everyone should have the square eyes, since they're so used, that since they give you such a wide field of vision, or at least all prey animals should. It's just odd that goats and sheep are the only ones that do. Maybe not the only ones, but most prey animals don't have that. It's probably better for us to not have that so that we can, and predators so that we can focus, but yeah, it's the goat. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, for you out there in Podcastia, grow a goatee. Resolve your conflicts with forceful thrusts of your skull, and speak like the locals do, like the goat here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, Thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
It's the goat episode. This is the goat episode.